Hello, everybody. We're very honored today to have with us someone who's a real spirit of truth and honor and facts. It's Mary Holland. And we're going to talk about a number of things regarding health and what is going on in the world and how it's really messed things up in ways that who would have believed. We were just talking before we went on the air about, you know, I'm up here in Kingston, New York, and she said how nice it is up here. And I said, yeah, but the whole place has changed since the COVID war. And I call it the COVID war because that's the language that the presidents, Congress, from Italy to France, all over the world leaders call it a war. We're fighting a war. So when you fight wars, the people follow very obediently. So the whole, you know, Mary, the whole situation has changed. You know, life is dead up here now. You know, 9, 10 o'clock, the streets are empty. You know, the mentality's changed dramatically.
I think you're so right to call it a war. It was a war. And this war on infectious disease has been going on for centuries, for decades, intensively in the United States. And it was primarily focused against children. So we're Children's Health Defense. I'm CEO of Children's Health Defense. And we've been at this war around infectious disease. And, you know, that truth is always the first casualty of war. We've been at this a long time. But COVID, the bad news and the good news, Gerald, is that COVID made the issue around vaccines and lockdowns and intense draconian mandates, testing, masking. It made these issues that the whole global population has to deal with. They locked down businesses worldwide. They destroyed small business, so-called small business, nightlife, restaurants, retail. They kept the mega corporations. This was a huge wealth transfer to the global mega corporations, the oligarchy that has so much power. So this was all intentional. And I think you're absolutely right to call it the COVID war. And we're in a sort of a truce, I think, in the COVID war, but it's not over. And the oligarchic forces are really looking towards this World Health Organization pandemic treaty at the end of this month and putting in place infrastructure for pandemic preparedness and response, keeping the war going, keeping all of these. And you're absolutely right. In a war, populations tend to be obedient because they believe that they're being threatened with death, be it by an enemy or by a virus. And so it induces compliance. Again, the good news is that through COVID, even though it wasn't reported in the global press, there was global pushback against the measures that were put in place. So it's a mixed picture, but it was a war, and we're in a truce. There's not been a true demilitarization at all.
Yeah. Again, you know, that's not my language. That one person after another, they all called it a war. And I make the case with that little boy of nothing, little Georgie Bush. His popularity rating was in the toilet when the dot-com bust happened back in 2000. And then all of a sudden, the war on terror begins. He said, we're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden, dead or alive. 90% of the people supported the Afghan war. That's how people, when war breaks out, they follow their leader. You know, before we went on the air, I looked up and to see how many people allegedly died of COVID. And again, as the facts prove, if you fell off a bicycle and broke your neck or a motorcycle and you were tested positive for COVID, they put you down that you died of COVID. So even taking those numbers, a grand total of 7 million, a little over 7 million people out of 8 billion, this is according to the data, died of COVID in a period of 4 years. So we're looking at 99.1% of the people are still alive. And they all call it a pandemic, a pandemic. The World Health Organization called it a pandemic on May 11th, 2020. The COVID war breaks out in China, allegedly, on Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat, in January. January, February, March, the grand total, 4,219 people died out of 8 billion, and they called it a pandemic.
Well, we know that calling it a pandemic enabled all kinds of emergency governmental powers worldwide, and it enabled the opportunity to make emergency use authorization products, which didn't go through standard licensing. So the masks, so the shots, they were all emergency use authorization, essentially no liability. The other point is that many scientists who are really looking at the demographic data, we know that life expectancy went down during the COVID period for Americans overall, for Native American groups in particular. But what we do know is that the real changes in mortality happened after the shots came on the market in 2021. It was not in 2020. And according to some demographic analysis, Denny Roncour in particular, 17 million people have died related to the shots, from the shots, not from COVID, the viral infection of SARS-CoV-2. So there's an awful lot to unpack here. And one of the most disturbing things is that the powers that be would like to tell us that that was a success. It was a horror. It was a nightmare. It was a war. People haven't recovered, and the truth hasn't recovered. The truth is dribbling out, and we still don't know the whole truth by a long shot. Both, you know, the people around the world are trying to tell us that the that the COVID measures were a success, and we just need more of them. We need more tests. We need more, you know, experimental shots. We need more testing. This is insane. This is absolutely, it was an abject failure. They suppressed medications that were inexpensive and known to be effective against respiratory viruses. As you point out, there never was a pandemic. And basically, in pushing these masks and pushing the lockdowns and pushing the shots, they completely turned, they tried to turn every person on the planet into an experimental subject in violation of a common international law obligation that no one should be forced to be in an experiment. No one should be a guinea pig under the Nuremberg Code. And this was an experiment. It was a massive global experiment. And in my view, it was an abomination that should never happen again. But that's not the public discourse from our governments or from pharma or from, you know, the powerful players around the world. They're still trying to say overall, well, a few mistakes were made and maybe a few people were hurt. It was sort of like, you know, you have to break the eggs to make the omelet.
Yeah. And again, the masses followed, you know, I had a rally up here in Kingston when everything was locked down. And I'm one of the most hated people up here for having done that. And we all died, by the way, that we're at the rally. We all died of COVID.
There you go.
Yeah. And you know, there's this stuff that they had out, everybody's sanitizing their hands, you know. Like I used to say, don't forget when you masturbate, you better sanitize your hands, you know. I mean, they were making this stuff up and no one talking about the dangers.
Absolutely.
Of doing this.
Listen, you know, Tony Fauci, who is in many ways the sort of the master orchestrator in the United States, he's going to be in front of Congress on June 3rd. That's the plan. But he admitted under oath in his most recent testimony that wasn't for the public. He said, we made it up. The 6-foot distancing, there's no science behind that.
Yep.
How unbelievable that the whole world would be subjected to this ludicrous idea that people should keep distance from one another, and there was nothing behind it, and yet they put it out to us as if, you know, the gods have spoken. There's so much to be concerned about with what happened during COVID, and my biggest concern right now is let's not let that happen again. And fortunately, there's really fantastic global pushback right now against what the World Health Organization and the UN and the World Economic Forum are trying to push on us, which is this global infrastructure for pandemic preparedness and response. It is a disaster in the making.
Again, look how many people were censored. I mean, what they did to, you know, Dr. Joseph Mercola and others, taking them off, you know, YouTube and censoring people that came out with facts against it. right across the street over here, there's a big parking lot right next to the Ulster County Courthouse. And they took the farmer's market off the street and put it in the parking lot. Adults, like kids in kindergarten, outside the parking lot, were drawing circles with chalk every 6 feet going into the parking lot. And then someone counting the number of people going into the parking lot with the vendors for the market over there, counting the number of people that went in, and then 6 feet in front of all of the vendors, circles, because the wind blows exactly in straight lines in 6 feet. It doesn't go up, doesn't go down, doesn't go around. These are adults that are doing this for the farmers market.
Gerald, it's unbelievable. When I look back, it just stuns me that the whole world was effectively put into a trance and people followed orders, except for people like you and me. And, you know, and the good news is that I think over these years, people have come to understand, yeah, they lied. There was nothing behind the 6 feet. They told us that these shots were going to save us from COVID. Well, everybody who took the shots got sick. And the science shows that the more shots you took, the more COVID you got, not to mention all the other side effects. The science absolutely does not confirm that the masks work. So I think billions of people around the world now see, wow, they lied to us through their teeth. They knew they were lying. We don't even know the full extent of the lies. Why the hell would I ever believe them again? Now, you know, in a crisis, people want to believe a leader. And so I'm not saying they are powerless, but I do believe there is a much bigger resistance force than there was in 2020.
You know, this is one of the mask box over here that everybody was wearing, these things. And it says right on the box, these masks do not eliminate exposure to the risk of any disease or infection.
I know. The box says it. I mean, in so many ways, I feel like the powers that be were really laughing at us. Like, yeah. Oh my God, look, they actually did what we told them to do. I don't know if you saw this. This one blows my mind. Our former governor here in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, was just on a podcast with Dr. Lena Wen, not my favorite people by a long shot. And the governor had the audacity to say, well, you know, the masks and closing down businesses, I didn't have authority to do that, but people did it. And so it was voluntary. That just flies in the face of what happened. He was given emergency powers by the New York State Legislature and he used them and people were thrown in jail. People were beaten up. They were fined. The notion that this was voluntary is unbelievable that he would say that out loud to me.
Remember, they gave him an Emmy Award for his lying. He was so good at it.
You're exactly right. I mean, so many of these people truly are extraordinary liars, and they seem to have no moral compass that it is evil to lie to people about things that have the nature of life and death. It's evil.
This is from November 11th, 2020. New York limits social gatherings as virus surges across the U.S. This is Financial Times. New York has moved to tighten restrictions on social gathering as a surge in COVID-19 throughout the U.S. has led to a record number of hospitalizations. Indoor gatherings at private residence, you ready? Must be limited to 10 people beginning on Friday evening, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on Wednesday. I say it should have been limited to 11 people, not 10. They make up this crap.
They make it up and then they laugh at us for complying. And we know they don't comply themselves, Gerald. We saw, you know, Cuomo not complying. We saw Governor Newsom going to a dinner party for his birthday with no mask. We saw Nancy Pelosi going to her beauty parlor when everybody else was locked down. It's atrocious. It's really, I think, again, what COVID showed us was the level of deceit and the level of corruption. And that's That's positive that more people, it was transparent what is happening. More people are aware, more people are awake than was the case in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, this is restaurants, bars, and other businesses with liquor license must close dine-in service each night by 10 p.m. Why, I say let's do it at 11 p.m. How about 10:15? Why don't we make up any crap we can make up? You know, I have to tell you, Mary, I hear what you're saying, but to me, the people will keep following. The masses will keep following. You know, they follow their leaders. It's a freak show out there. And again, the when you come out against it, it's
I hear you. I am an optimist, but I think that the failures of the leadership were so on display. Everything they told us was a lie. I think even though that hasn't been admitted yet, the powers that be haven't admitted their failures, I do think people see them. I don't think that trying to do this again, as I expect will happen, I think it will not be so easy. I'm concerned that there may be other kind of war events, literal war, environmental, you know, catastrophes. I'm certainly concerned about that. But we know that this pandemic paradigm is not going anywhere. Today's front page news in the New York Times was about, or maybe it wasn't the first front page, but it's all about bird flu now infecting farm workers. And, you know, the bird flu story is escalating, and I don't think that's an accident in conjunction with what is happening at the World Health Organization. And
no. You know, one of the books I worked on many years ago, 1986, Natural Healing. And my former wife, may she rest in peace, had severe colitis. And at 27 years old, they were going to take out her intestines and put the bag in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, we were living in Chicago at the time, in Evanston, right north of Chicago. And we went to Northwestern University to see, and they said, there's this great doctor. And I'm a young guy back then. I'm like, you know, 28 years old. And I said to him, you know, I'm hearing all this stuff about vitamins and supplements and nutrition. And he slammed down his pen and he said, I've never been grilled like this before in my life. And I shut right up, you know. Anyway, we moved up to Rhinebeck in 79, and someone introduced us to a chiropractor. The chiropractors were at the top of so many. And he said to my wife, the word doctor means teacher and educator. And I'm going to teach you how to heal yourself. And he did. That's and, great. You know, he explained what colitis was. When the food goes down, the intestines is breaking up the sores, ulcers. And so we're going to heal the intestines.
That's great.
And she got totally healed. So anyway, when the COVID broke out, you know, I asked my other chiropractic buddy and another integrative medicine, what kind of vitamins and supplements should I get on? And they put me on a whole list. I just got my first cold about 3 weeks ago. I have not been sick in 4.5 years.
That's great.
There was not one word about the mainstream media to build up your immune system and get healthy. Not one word.
Not one word. And it's so clear that there was a correlation between vitamin D levels, among other things, and people's health and their ability to withstand this viral infection. So we at Children's Health Defense put out a daily newsletter called The Defender. It's free. You can sign up at childrenshealthdefense.org. We have also CHDTV. We have streaming every day on topics of health related to children, but also censorship, COVID, all the things we're talking about. Chiropractors have been at the front of the sort of health, true health, and against so many of the paradigms. And we're grateful to them. We work very closely with many chiropractors and integrative physicians, as you say. We've been working with the physicians who stood up, who are at FLCCC and Dr. Zelenko, and we've been trying to tell people the truth. People have been really gaslighted during COVID, and I do hope that people are becoming more conscious that they've been lied to, and you shouldn't trust people who lie to you.
No. And again, I go to put up that link again, please. Children's Health Defense. I get their emails every day, and what they're putting out is sensational. And again, it's based by facts. It's not, you know, just talk. Right. And what you're saying about chiropractors, I have a book. It was called, where is it over here? Here, chiropractor. Anyway, my book was called Trends 2000. It was an international bestseller. And about how the Chiropractic Association, here we go. The American Medical Association found guilty of conspiracy. The AMA has been found guilty of an illegal conspiracy to destroy the competitive profession of chiropractic, the members of which were found to outperform medical physicians in certain segments of the healthcare market. Right there.
Yep. It's a case that I believe went to the, I don't know if it went to the Supreme Court, but yeah, they took the AMA to court and they won.
Yeah. So again, it's so important for people to get in the best physical, emotional, and spiritual health you can get in, because we're in the fight for our lives. And what you're giving the people is spectacular. Again, I get the emails every day.
Thank you so much.
And we also publish some of the articles in the Trends Journal. And you go to childrenhealthdefense.org. And of course, we put the links to the organization. You know, I'm gonna say something. This gets a lot of people very angry. You look at the obesity rate in America, and again, these are the facts according to the CDC. Out of 73 million people between the ages of 1 to 17, less than 2,000 allegedly died of COVID. 61% of those hospitalized were obese. Yet, they forced the vaccinations on young kids, closed down the schools, sent them home. Oh, now the kids aren't going back to school, and I don't blame them. If I stayed home, I hated school from kindergarten. I ran away, you know, and now they're staying home week after week, month after month, year after year. I don't want to go back. Now they've caused all this serious damage, but they weren't dying of COVID.
COVID, most children, Gerald, developed immunity without ever getting sick. They have very robust immune systems, more than adults, more than elderly people. They didn't come down with COVID, let alone do they need a shot. And yet our government officials are still pushing COVID shots, incredibly dangerous interventions, on babies 6 months old and up. I mean, we are living in, you know, an upside down world. But our health overall in this country and children's health is not what it should be. Oh. It is not good. We are watching a chronic health epidemic, and we're doing nothing about the chronic diseases. Here we're focused on this infectious disease that was not what they told us it was. And yet we have chronic asthma, autism, ADHD, cancer. We have these serious chronic conditions about which we're essentially doing nothing, except that pharma is making a ton of money on them. And in a different show, we could talk about, we know that all of these chronic health conditions are plausibly related to these early medical interventions with young children. They are plausibly related to vaccines. And we've done some of the groundbreaking research on comparing outcomes of vaccinated and unvaccinated children. And this is really something that affects every person in this country, every child, and increasingly worldwide. So anyway, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us.
You know, I'm 77. I'm the first of the baby boom generation. And there were kids, like 40, 50 kids in my class. You had a friend that maybe had a brother that had Down syndrome, one out of, you know, nobody had autism.
Nobody had autism.
It didn't
nobody
exist.
Had autism. Nobody had asthma. Nobody had severe allergies. Nobody knew what an EpiPen was. Very few kids got cancer, if ever. No kid had depression or anxiety or apraxia or dyspraxia. It's obvious, looking at the big picture, that what we're doing is causing harm. It's obvious. And we need to drill down and we need to get that done. We need new people in positions of power at the national level for health, because what's happening is wrong.
Well, as I call it, it's a crime syndicate running the country.
It is a crime syndicate.
You know, by their deeds, you shall know them. What's your favorite war and how much money they have to steal and give to the too big to fails. I could go on and on. But going back, when I was a kid, you know, everybody got chicken pox, measles, and mumps.
And there's good science, Gerald, that if you got chicken pox and you got measles and you got mumps and you got rubella, you have a stronger immune system. That's what the science shows. You're less likely to develop certain cancers. You're less likely to develop other diseases later in life. There was a reason why children had these basically trivial childhood diseases. So, you know, there's a lot to be done to turn this around.
And again, all of this ultra processed food that people are eating, the crap food. So I was going to say, this is what people hate me about. A lot of things they can't stand me about, because I say things that are against what the mainstream media says. But, you know, once upon a time, mothers used to raise their children. So I came from a family, there were five of us, and they had what they call change of life kids. But my mother and my aunts and uncles, my aunts that had to work, my grandmother or aunts would take care of the kids. They were cooking for the kids, for the family. They were cooking. You look at the videos from Woodstock, my generation. There's no blimps.
People were healthy.
Because the parents were cooking for the children. Now they get a kid, they throw them in a daycare center, which I call nursing homes for children. And you're out of your mind when you're a kid. You got a stranger raising you, and they're feeding them crap. They're feeding them crap.
So we definitely are putting a lot of attention on food because it's so important. So we have something called Big Food Watch. The ultra processed stuff is not only garbage, it's poison. It really harms people's health. So I totally agree with you that the food is an issue and bringing kids up, right? And I think one of the positive things we're seeing is this resurgence of homeschooling, right? The parents are in charge. Get them out of these public school systems, get them out of the private, get them into the home, co-ops with other like-minded parents. And there's millions of kids now who are doing homeschooling in the United States. And that's a very important development. We worked with some of those homeschooling communities and various lawsuits we've done.
I ran away from kindergarten at 4.5 years old and crossed the Boston Post Road in the Bronx. They took me out because they knew that I'd be dead. I hated every day of school. All it is, it's not a public school. It's a government school. It's a brainwashing system. And again, thank you so much for what you're doing. And it's so important. Again, everybody go to this website. Because they're giving you information about the homeschooling. It's so important to raise your children, and you know it's your responsibility to do the best you can for your kid. You know, a mother comes home from work and they're exhausted, and they're giving the kid, you know, prepared foods. You know, look, I'll tell you a quick story. I brought my sister out of a nursing home not this December, a year ago, and she was in the best place. But every time I go visit her, she was like this. All drugged out. I had her up here. Unfortunately, she passed away. And she was painting. She was so happy. I'd have her sitting out in front of my building. Now, remember, she's in a nursing home for like 12 years. She had two strokes and dementia. She would see these big people walking down the street. And she'd go, oh. She could not believe what the people looked like. Because she hadn't seen him in so many years.
Wow.
And the woman that used to take care of her, I used to get her out of the house right away. I want her out in the street. I want to get in the back because she'd just sit and watch television. The woman was taking, she was great that took care of her. She was from Jamaica. And my sister used to say to her, she's in the wheelchair. She used to go, look, fatso. She couldn't believe what America looked like.
And you know, your sister was not alone. I'm just familiar with another story right now. In nursing homes, essentially, they're making people into zombies because they don't want to have to deal with all of the interpersonal needs and behavioral potential challenges. And so it's easier to drug people. And most of the people who are being drugged do not, they don't benefit from it and they don't need it. And it's a travesty. It's a travesty.
Yeah, I have Jane over here who's doing the filming of here. And Jane was here the day we brought my sister to the nursing home. Right, Jane? And what was my sister like when we brought her up here?
She was a zombie.
And what was she like after 3 months?
Full of life, energy, painting.
So great. Good for you. Yeah. I mean, what we want are healthy, thriving, vibrant people, full of health, full of ideas, engaged in life. You know, that's what we want. That's what health looks like. Health is not a minor, you know, it's not medicine. Health is not medicine. And what we want are healthy children to lead this country and the world into the future.
Yeah. And thank you for all that you're doing to make that happen. Well, very honored to be on with you. Wishing you all the best. Pace y amore, peace and love. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We got to bring that happiness back, because happiness has become a dirty word in America. It's only in the Declaration of Independence. You're not allowed to be independent anymore. So thanks a lot, Mary Holland.
Thank you so much, Gerald. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.